Good afternoon, America, and welcome to the Dean's List. I'm Dean Bowen. You are listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio, and we've got a lot to get into today. We've got a lot to cover. We've got a history class that we have to dive into today. Got to have history today. I don't know when or how we're going to squeeze it in, but there's just too much exciting things happening today in history that we would be remiss if we did not, if we didn't explore them, if we didn't talk about them or go after them. So that's got to happen today. All right, we'll try to do that in the third segment. There is no trying. No, we will do it. We will go to history class in the third segment. Just warning you right now, history class in segment three. I think you're going to love it. I do. I mean, if you're like me and you love history, you are going to love history class today. I'm going to leave it at that. Segment three. Matter of fact, if you're listening on podcast and you're just full of anticipation and you want to fast forward to segment three right now, well, don't do it. Don't do it because, I mean, there's other things that we have to dive into first. Yesterday, I meant to go to Washington. Tried to get there. I just ran out of time. But there's things happening in Washington that we have to talk about. If you care about education, we have to talk about it. If you care about the foundation of the country and going back to foundational values and principles, then we have to talk about what's happening in Washington. Washington Elementary School. The article, the headline here says, a Washington elementary school barred fifth grade students from starting an interfaith prayer club, despite permitting groups to start pride clubs. All right. So if you care about education, and if you care about the foundation of the country, and us going back to this, to the foundational moorings with which we started, then this is an important part of the conversation. We have to have it here. And we have to talk about it. We have to make you aware of it. All right. The purpose of this show is to shine the light of truth on the educational landscape in this country. That's the purpose. That's the objective. Part one. Part two is to shine the light of hope. Mm-hmm. So in part one, we're going to shine the light of truth. And when we get to history class today, we're going to shine so much hope. Ah, cannot wait for history class. I might just start it right now. No, I will not start it now. We have to shine the light of truth first. All right, Washington Elementary. Let's get to this article. A Washington state school is accused of violating two elementary students' First Amendment religious freedom protection. Hang on, I got to read that over again. I went too fast. Dean, slow down. Okay, the school is accused of violating two elementary students' First Amendment religious freedom protection. Got it. All right, got it. We're good. And how? How did they violate this First Amendment freedom of religion protection? By denying the students' request to form an interfaith prayer club on campus. Okay, you can have clubs. Students can start clubs on school campuses. Rush used to call them campi in honor of Rush. We will say campi. Creekside Elementary School in Sammamish. I don't know if I'm pronouncing Sammamish correctly. Well, that's what we're going with. Creekside Elementary School in Sammamish, Washington, rejected the application in February by two 11-year-old students to start an interfaith prayer group designed to serve their community. That was the point of the prayer group. We want to serve the community. Nope, you can't do that. You cannot serve your community if your club is a prayer club. We don't want any of that prayer business going on here. So the answer is no. This was explained in a letter by Kayla Tony, who is an associate attorney at First Liberty Institute. Oh, First Liberty. Come on, you know First Liberty, don't you? Yeah, is it ringing a bell? First Liberty. Coach Kennedy. Oh, yeah. I think this is the same group. I think First Liberty. I could be wrong. All right. I could be wrong. Don't quote me, but I'm almost positive. And Coach Kennedy took place in Washington. What is going on in Washington? All right. Kayla Toney's letter, April 9th, to the Issaquah School District. She says the school rejected the request, even though it permits more than a dozen other non-religious clubs to meet on campus. Notably, the school allows a pride club said to, quote, provide a safe space for educating students on LGBTQ history and people. That's according to the school website. So Tony is saying you will allow a pride club designed to provide a safe space in which students can learn about homosexuality, but you won't allow a prayer club designed to serve the community. Okay. I mean, all right. We're just going to get to the bottom of it, though. The letter from Miss Tony also claims that the school allows a green team focused on making the school more sustainable, a marimba club, which obviously focuses on the marimba, a chess club, which clearly focuses on chess, and student council, among other secular groups. The letter alleges that the school's principal, Amy Allison, informed one of the students that she could not have an interfaith prayer club, but could fill out an application to pay to use the school after school. All right. Okay. No, I'm sorry. You cannot form an interfaith club, but you know what? If you want to fill out one of these applications over here, we'll charge you money. You can use the school building, but you're going to pay for it. Yeah. No, you can't have an after school club. Even though you're a student, you can't have an after school club. But if you want to rent the facility, we're going to charge you. Oh, wowzers. All right, Miss Tony's letter continues. Quote, as the Supreme Court has repeatedly held, religious clubs must be afforded the same recognition, access, and rights as other non-curricular clubs. You have to allow this. This has to be able to happen for you. And for us and for these kids, these two girls, you have to allow this, according to the Supreme Court. Amy Allison's over here like, no, I don't. No, no. We are an anti-prayer school. We're an anti-prayer, whatever. Not allowing it. In a March 8 meeting, Miss Allison said that the quote process of establishing clubs has ended. Okay, this is Amy Allison. She's the principal. March 8th, she says the process of establishing clubs has ended. It's over. No new clubs are being added at this time. Sorry, March 8th, this is it. That was the deadline. Sorry, no new clubs. You can't have a new club anymore. We don't care that there's still, let's see, March, April, May. We don't care that there's still 4 months of school left. The time of starting a club is over. Can't do it. Miss Tony continues in her letter. Even though Principal Allison made this statement March 8th, despite permitting a Pride Club to begin meeting the same month. Bum, bum, bum. And there it is, kids. Now we're getting to it. Now we are getting to it. I wonder what Miss Allison's political persuasion is. You think she's a Democrat? I mean, I don't know. I'm just curious. Miss Tony continues. You in Creekside are treating non-religious clubs more favorably than a religious club by singling out a religious club and providing it inferior access to school resources than what it provides to other non-curricular groups. The district shows a hostility to religion that violates the free exercise clause of the First Amendment. Here we go. She continues, denying the formation of a religious student club while allowing other clubs violates the Constitution. I don't think they care. I really don't. I think they're to the point now where they're like, hey, we can do whatever we want. We're going to do whatever we want, whenever we want, and the Constitution, whatever. It's a piece of paper. We don't answer to a piece of paper. Why we answer to ourselves? We answer to our own desires. We answer to our own truth. We answer to our own political whims. Not a piece of paper that's full of dust and old writings. We don't even understand that anymore. Oh boy, oh boy. Miss Tony continues. She says, school officials at Creekside Elementary are engaged in religious discrimination against an 11-year-old girl who simply wants to pray, feel support from other religious friends, and do community service. That's it. She wants to do those three things. She wants to pray, she wants to be supported by others of like mind, and she wants to help the community. Man, you guys are like, no, you can't help the community. The only way you can help the community is if you're telling them about homosexuality. That's it. If you're not telling them about homosexuality, then by golly, you're not helping the community. You're not allowed. We don't want you. Miss Tony said this seems at odds with the school district's diversity, equity, and inclusion mission, which is to quote, create welcoming and inclusive learning environments where students, staff, and parents know that they matter and that they belong. But Miss Tony, you know that inclusion does not include Christianity. You know that. I mean, you know it will include anything but prayer. We're not having that. No, not having it. We like diversity, but we're not going to allow Christianity. We're not going to be that diverse. I mean, that's just too diverse. I mean, we like equity, but not when it comes to prayer and Christianity. And we're certainly not including it. So, when we say when our diversity, equity, and inclusion mission says that we want to create welcoming and inclusive learning environments where students, staff, and parents know that they matter and that they belong, the asterisk there is unless you're a Christian, because if you're a Christian or you want to pray or you believe in God, then you really don't matter. And you really don't belong. You don't belong here. You don't belong in this leftist, Marxist, progressive utopia of wonder. Nah, you don't belong here. Now, this isn't the place for you. No, not here. Not here. Not here in Washington. Not here in the glorious state of Washington at Creekside Elementary School in Sammamish or Sammamish or however you're pronouncing it. You're not welcome here. Sorry. Sorry. We just don't want you. Oh, look at this. Oh, we're going to visit the Kennedy case. We must be in the same place. You know what? I tell you what. I'm going to pause here. Let's take a quick break. Let's pause here for a minute. We'll dive into the rest of this article on the other side. And maybe the next segment I'll even keep shorter because, kids, we've got to go to history class in segment number three. All right. We absolutely have got to get there. So let's pause here and we will pick this up on the other side. You're listening to the Dean's List on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity, unlike other supplements that don't work. Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com, code out loud.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Be a part of a revolutionary new healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interests of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Welcome back to the Dean's List. I'm Dean Bowen. You are listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio. We are happy to have you on board. You can find us here Monday through Friday at the 2 p.m. Eastern time slot at americaoutloud.news. And thank you for listening. Thank you for finding us, no matter where you're listening. If you're at the world-class media player on the site right now, thank you. If you're listening live via the app on your phone, thank you. If you're listening at iHeartRadio, thank you. On any of the podcast networks, thank you for doing it. If you're listening on one of the podcast networks, leave us a review. Drop us a five-star review if you like it. If you don't like it, I mean, you know, maybe not drop a one-star review. I don't know. If you don't like it, I guess, you know, turn the channel or, you know, just let it play in the background as white noise. But if you like it, if you like what we say, then give us a review. Make it happen. Five stars. And send it to somebody who needs to hear it. Really, that's important. Because we're shining the light of truth, and it's got to be shined. We got to shine it. So if you know somebody who would enjoy seeing the light of truth, then, you know, send us their way or send them our way. Either way you cut it. And if you have a comment, if you have a question, go to my show page at americaoutloud.news. Leave a comment. I love the discussions that can happen from the comments you read, that you leave. And I read them. I do. I read them. I read every single one of them. They come in and I read them. Some make me laugh. They do. I like some of them. Some of them. You know, some don't make me laugh. Some make me, No, it's not. It's not like that. I mean, I do have people that disagree with me, and that's fine. I mean, not a lot. Most don't. Most are like, yes. Everything that you're saying, go after it. Let's get in there. Let's go. You know, but occasionally, you know, someone will say, hey, aren't you a little rough? Or aren't you a little this? Aren't you a little that? And I might be. I might be a little of those things. I might be. I might be a little on the edge a little bit. But that's, you know, that's who I am. And that's just the way it is, kids. That's there's no way around it. We are who we are. I love the country, though. I do. I love America. And I love the students that attend my school, Waterbrook Christian Academy in Flint, Michigan. I love the students here. I love the families and the parents. I love the mission that we're on. The mission that we have here is to classically educate our students in a Christ-centered environment. There are certain things that we want to pursue. We want to pursue love. We want to pursue truth. We want to pursue wisdom and virtue. These are things that we go after here. And it's our makeup. It's who we are. And this is what I love. And I'm doing what I love. I am where I want to be. I'm right where I want to be. And I love being here. I love leading this school. I love sitting behind this microphone and talking to myself. I said the other day, I just sit here and talk to myself. I mean, sometimes people are in the room and I'm talking to them and they nod at me. You know, sometimes Cynthia joins us, the occasional co-host. And I love it when she comes on because she She's more tempered than I am. She's definitely a good balance to my edginess. She's calm. She's a clear thinker. She's level-headed. She's wonderful. She's just absolutely wonderful. And I wish I could get her in the studio more often. But she's busy. She's a busy lass. But if I could get her in here more often, I would, because she gets it done. She knows what's going on. But I love being here. This is my point. I love being here, and I love that you're here. And if you like what you hear, you know, leave me a nice review. That's all I'm asking here. That's it. That's all. Okay. All right. Back to the article. We're talking about the state of Washington and this elementary school, Creekside Elementary School. If you're just joining us in segment two, Creekside Elementary School has this 11-year-old girl, a couple of them, and they wanted to start a prayer club. So they go to the principal and they say, "Miss Principal, we would like to start an after-school prayer club." And their principal, what's her name? Amy Allison. Amy Allison says, "Sorry, kids, but we're not taking any new clubs, but here's what we'll do for you. You want to pay us money, you can rent the building, but no more clubs. We're all clubbed out. I mean, we can't handle another club around here, know what I'm saying?" But in that same month, the month of March, they do allow for a pride club to start. I mean, we'll make some exceptions. I mean, you know, we need more homosexuality teaching out there in these elementary schools, so we're going to make an exception. However, we're not going to allow any prayer clubs, no religion, no God, none of this business. Nope, not going to do it. All right, so this attorney, Miss Tony, she's pretty hot, the attorney for the girls, and she's saying, "Look, you're violating the Constitution by denying the formation of a religious student club while allowing other clubs. You, my friends, are violating the Constitution." Interestingly enough, the article that I'm looking at revisits the Kennedy case. Now, you know the Kennedy case. We've talked about it quite a bit. Last summer, the Supreme Court ruled favorably for Coach Kennedy. This school is just a short distance. The school that we're talking about here, Creekside Elementary, according to the article, is just a short distance from Bremerton High School. Yes, where Coach Joe Kennedy was fired for leading his high school football team in prayer after each home game. We're just down the road. Haven't you learned your lesson yet? Clearly. In Coach Kennedy's case, the Supreme Court held that students and staff can pray at school. Yes, you can. You can pray at school. And to prohibit them from doing so violates the First Amendment. Coach Kennedy won his suit for unjust firing, confirming that he had a right to pray on the field. In a 6-3 decision, the Supreme Court agreed with him. And they said, yeah, you do. You've got this right. Absolutely. This wasn't last summer. I'm sorry. Last summer was 23. This was the summer before. This was not last summer. I think I said this was last summer. Nope, this was the summer before. Because when it broke, I was in Texas. And I was at a seminar in Texas at Wall Builders, something that the Bartons were doing. And there was about 20 of us there, and it was fantastic. And when the news broke, I remember we talked about it. That was not last summer. That was 2022. I correct myself. See, I make it known when I'm wrong, and I correct myself. The court's holding in Kennedy, this is Miss Tony now, she's still writing here. Quote, "The court's holding in Kennedy versus Bremerton School District made clear that the First Amendment protects the right of students and employees to express their faith in public schools. The court went on to add that the First Amendment doubly protects religious speech." Doubly, because it protects free speech, and then it throws in religious speech on top of that. These First Amendment protections extend to elementary school students expressing their sincere religious beliefs through voluntary clubs. Yet the Issaquah School District flouted its First Amendment obligations when Creekside refused to allow a student-led interfaith club. Yep, violated them. You're not going to allow this club to come in? You, my friend, are in direct violation. It's unlawful action. Violates both the Free Exercise Clause and the Free Speech Clause, Miss Tony argued, because there's double protection there. The First Amendment doubly protects religious speech. I love that. I do. I love that. I don't know that I've ever thought about it to that extent. Doubly protects it. That's genius. Based on Supreme Court precedent in the neighboring school district, Issaquah School District must allow the prayer club immediately, she continued. Immediately. You cannot sit on this. You need to, I don't care if you have a policy of no new clubs, you must allow this club. You are in direct violation to the Constitution of the United States of America. Miss Tony demanded that the school permit the request to start a prayer club and allow it to begin meeting no later than April 29th. So here we are. We're at April 18 today. We're going to keep our eye on this. April 29. We're just a few days away here. We're a week in change. Can't wait to see how this bad boy unfolds. Love it. Love to see people taking a stand. Just absolutely love it. If not, the article continues, if the school does not allow the club to open by April 29, First Liberty is likely to take the matter to court, where Miss Tony said she expects it will win, as it did in Mr. Kennedy's case. All right, so here's the letter. We're giving you an opportunity to allow this club to happen. If it does not happen by the 29th, we will see you in court. When the Bremerton School District refused to settle the Kennedy matter outside of court, it had to pay First Liberty $1.7 million in legal fees. It was First Liberty. I was right. My amazing, brilliant memory. Okay, I got the time wrong. You know, I said last summer, and it was the summer before. But I got First Liberty right. I got the defense counsel right. So 50-50. You got to throw me a bone here. $1.7 million, the school district, Bremerton, had to pay First Liberty in those legal fees. Do you think Creekside Elementary is looking at that? Do you think they are? They're probably looking at that bill and they're thinking to themselves, holy cow. April 29th is going to get here quickly. Let's get the paperwork. Come on. We got a club to start. Let's go. $1.7 million. So this is the beauty of America, my friends. And we're going to dive into this next when we get into history class. This is the beauty of America. We don't roll over. And we don't roll over because we have rights. We have inalienable rights, declared by our Declaration and protected by our Constitution. This is why us having an understanding of the Declaration and the Constitution is so important, because we have to understand our rights. We have to. If we don't, then we will unknowingly allow people to just trample those rights. And it'll be unknowingly, because we don't understand the Constitution. We don't read it. We don't get the First Amendment. And this is why it's important that we understand it. And also it's important why we are going to history class. I'm going to wrap this segment up because I want to get to history class. I'm excited about what's going to happen in history class today. And there's things that we have to talk about because we can learn from history. We can learn from what valiant Americans did in the past and how that applies to our lives today. We can take their actions and we can apply it to our lives today. We can gain encouragement from it. We can gain intestinal fortitude from it. We can be energized from it. But we're a people who we don't roll over. We don't play dead. We see what needs to be done, and we go after it. Oh, I love that about America. Don't you love that about America? Don't you love that about yourself? And if you're not that way, my friends, you can become that way. You can. You can become strong. You can become boisterous. You can grow a spine and have a backbone and just go after it. And I hope you do. All right. Let's pause here. We will jump into history class on the other side of this break. You're listening to The Dean's List on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Many voices, one freedom, united in the First Amendment. Our goal is to herald the voice of genuine liberty at AmericaOutloud.news. A place where you'll find the naked truth expressed with a patriotic heart. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Welcome back to the Dean's List, where we are heading into history class. I know it's your favorite time of the day. I get it. I get it. I understand it. It's my favorite time of the day as well. And so here we are. And today is a big day in American history. There's a lot going on today in American history. A lot of things that we have to talk about. Beginning first with our friend, the patriot, the silversmith, Paul Revere. And I don't know that we can talk about Paul Revere without talking about Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, who wrote the poem entitled Paul Revere's Ride. And this is the anniversary today, April 18th, 75, the night of the famous ride by Paul Revere. And we learn about it. The British are coming to bid. I mean, that's the thing that you learn in school because of Longfellow. Here's how I'm holding Longfellow's poem. It's called Paul Revere's Ride. I encourage you today, read it. You can find it on the internet. You can download a PDF of it. It's fairly long, actually. It's, I don't know, 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, it's several stanzas. And it tells the story in Wadsworth's point of view. Starts out like this. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but, you know, the first couple of stanzas are just, they're good. I mean, all of it's good. Listen, my children, and you shall hear of the midnight ride of Paul Revere. On the 18th of April in 75, hardly a man is now alive who remembers that famous day and year. He said to his friend, if the British march by land or sea from the town tonight, hang a lantern aloft in the belfry arch of the North Church Tower as a signal light. One if by land and two if by sea, and I on the opposite shore will be, ready to ride and spread the alarm through every Middle Essex village and farm, for the country folk to be up to arm. Then he said good night, and with muffled oar, silently rowed to the Charleston shore, just as the moon rose over the bay, where swinging wide at her moorings lay the Somerset British man of war, a phantom ship with each mast and spar, across the moon like a prison bar, and a huge black hulk that was magnified by its own reflection in the tide. Those are just the first three stanzas, and they're fantastic. Such good reading. I know you want to go to Google right now. Don't go to Google though. Go to some other search engine and type in Wadsworth Revere. Just type in those two, or Longfellow Revere. Boom, it's coming up. And you will. And I encourage you to read it. It's such a good poem. It's such good reading. Longfellow was a master craftsman. His pen was, it was powerful. And because of the pen of Longfellow, he essentially shaped history. We believe and we learn about that night, that glorious, wonderful night, April 18, 1775. Most of us remember it as kids because of this poem. One if by land, two if by sea. Now, because of the brilliant poetry of Longfellow, we actually learn and believe some inaccuracies about that night. Here's what one of our favorite historians has to say about it. Bill Bennett in the American Patriots Almanac. It's a book I reference quite a bit. If you don't own it, buy it. It's fantastic. It is full of rich American history. Here's what Bennett says. April 18th, 1775, brought the most famous ride in American history. With the colonies near open rebellion, British General Thomas Gage ordered 700 troops to march from Boston to Concord that night, April 18th. Their objective was to seize the militia's military supplies and to arrest two Patriot leaders. You know them. Samuel Adams and John Hancock. Contrary to popular belief, Samuel Adams did not craft beer in his basement. The British had hoped that was my own add-in, by the way, that was not Bill Bennett. Back to Bill Bennett. The British had hoped to move in secret, but Patriot spies were everywhere. And soon, silversmith Paul Revere was galloping through the night, spreading the alarm for the country folk to be up and to arm, as Henry Wadsworth Longfellow put it in his now famous poem, Paul Revere's Ride. Bennett continues, there are several misconceptions about Revere's Ride, thanks in part to Longfellow's verse. One is that Revere waited for a signal lantern to be hung in the tower of the Old North Church to know how the redcoats were moving. One if by land, two if by sea, across the Charles River. In fact, Revere himself directed the signal be set to warn other patriots in the area. So the signal was not hung for Revere. Revere hung the signal to warn others. But there was a signal. But it was his point. He wanted to warn those in the general area. Another misconception is that Revere galloped along calling, "The British are coming! The British are coming!" I mean, that's what, you know, that's how we remember it. It's a famous phrase. He would not have yelled that, according to Bennett. He would not have yelled, "The British are coming," since the colonists still thought of themselves as British. More likely, he said something like, "The regulars are coming out," or, you know, perhaps the redcoats or something to that effect. Revere reached Lexington and warned Hancock and Adams of the danger. With that mission accomplished, he jumped back onto his horse and set out for Concord, because he knew where they were going, Lexington and Concord. Although he never got to Concord, a British patrol captured him. But a companion that was riding with him had escaped and rode to Concord to alert the Patriots there. The British questioned Revere and let him go. By then, the warning had flown from village to village. Hundreds of colonists quickly armed themselves. When the Redcoats reached Lexington at dawn, the Minutemen were waiting. Bum, bum, bum. And that portion of history class, my friends, we will pick up tomorrow on the 19th, the day the shot is heard round the world. Mm-hmm. Another famous line. All right. I encourage you, pull up Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's poem and read about the ride of Paul Revere. And then just take in the lessons. I mean, really, they are myriad. The lessons are many. One of the obvious lessons that we learned from this is how to respond in adversity, how to rise up when trouble is brewing all around you, when storm clouds are rolling in, and you may not see any hope at all. I mean, there's 700 British regulars bearing down on your location. And you have friends like Paul Revere that get on horseback and will ride all night to warn you. There's so many beautiful things about this story. And so he gets to the house where Hancock and Adams are staying. It's a preacher's house. They're hanging out with the church pastor. And he warns them, and they flee out the back door. While the British are coming in the front door, Hancock and Adams are fleeing out the back door. It's just a great story. It really is. The story of American history is so rich. It's so good. It's, in many instances, it's a story of triumph when things look bleak. Truly, it is. American history itself, America, is a story of triumph when things look bleak. It's a story of people getting knocked down, pulling themselves up by the bootstraps, and then just going after it. Going after it and getting it done. All right, so Paul Revere is part one of history class today. Part two is, you know, it's a couple hundred years later. Takes place in, I guess it's not quite 200, definitely over 100 years later. Takes place today in 1942, however. And that would be the Lieutenant Colonel James H. Doolittle and his raiders taking off from the USS Hornet to bomb Tokyo. So this is just, you know, Pearl Harbor has happened. A few months earlier, America once again getting knocked down to her knees. And after she stood back up collectively and brushed off the cobwebs and kind of shook herself, there stood Lieutenant Colonel James H. Doolittle. And he was like, you know what, we got to do something. We have absolutely got to do something about this. We're gonna fly to Tokyo. And we're going to drop some bombs. Here's what Bill Bennett has to say about this day in 1942. He says, on April 17th, 1942, the aircraft carrier USS Hornet steamed west across the Pacific, several hundred miles from Japan. Lashed to its deck were 16 B-25 bombers, planes never before launched from a carrier on a combat mission. Their secret target, Tokyo. In the 4 months after Pearl Harbor, Japan's forces had surged across the Pacific. The Japanese were confident their nation was safe from attack. Lieutenant Colonel James H. Jimmy Doolittle, however, had other plans. He and 79 other airmen were determined to prove them wrong with a surprise air attack from the sea. They knew they would not have enough fuel to return to the Hornet, so they planned to land in China after dropping their bombs, or as some would refer to it as, it's a suicide mission. You don't have enough fuel to get back. Doolittle, you do not. This is crazy. Number one, these planes have never taken off from an aircraft carrier before. Number two, you're going to fly hundreds of miles over the ocean, risk being seen even before you get to Japan. Number three, let's say you make it to Japan and you get the bombs dropped. You don't have enough fuel to come back. You're doomed. Doomed, I tell you. The mission is doomed. And Doolittle's like, well, do we have enough fuel to keep going and land in China? And then that's what we're doing. You're going to land in China? How are you going to get back? We'll figure it out. That's Doolittle's answer. We'll figure it out. We'll do it. We will figure it out. So early on April 18, and this is where the story is interesting, a Japanese patrol boat spots the task force, and Doolittle realized he must launch earlier than planned. They were still trying to work this thing out. They're still trying to work out the details, but now that they're spotted, and it's do or die. Either we don't do it or we do it. And Doolittle's like, we're doing it. We're not going to roll over and just allow Japan to just clean our clocks continually. No, they cleaned our clock at Pearl Harbor, and now we've got our clock dusted off and repaired. Now we're going after him. So his airmen and he, Doolittle and his boys, they had spent months training, but had never taken off at sea. In the midst of a howling storm, Doolittle got his plane off the pitching deck and into the air with the other B-25s following. They're like, Doolittle made it. Let's go. Come on, fellas. We are on our way to Tokyo. Tune in, Tokyo. The bombers roared toward Japan. This is back to Bill Bennett's words. The bombers roared toward Japan, just 20 feet above the waves to avoid detection. The attack was a complete surprise. Many Japanese waved as the bombers flew overhead, not dreaming they could be Allied aircraft. The raiders quickly dropped their bombs on Tokyo and other targets and sped away. Doolittle and his crews continued toward China, where they crash-landed or parachuted from their planes as they ran out of fuel. One bomber landed in Russia. Most of the men eventually made it home with the help of Chinese who hid them from the Japanese. The Japanese did capture several airmen, executing three and starving one to death. The audacious raid did little physical damage, but it stunned the Japanese. News of Jimmy Doolittle's 30 seconds over Tokyo electrified Americans and helped turn the tide of the war in the Pacific. And here's this is just the beauty of it. It's really the beauty of psychology. It's the beauty of momentum that Doolittle's raid, all right, dropped some bombs on Tokyo, didn't really do a lot of damage, but it did something more. It did something to the American psyche where Americans were like, yeah, let's go. I mean, Doolittle, really? Come on. In the face of daunting odds, complete adversity, a small chance of success, very little hope for survival. Yet he and his boys put it all on the line to just, I don't want to say to just prove a point, because it was more than proving a point. They were attacking the enemy, and they were doing it with very little hope of survival. And it did something. It energized everybody. It energized the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, the American people at large, energized them. And it did something else. It also struck fear in the heart of the enemy. They didn't believe they could be attacked by air. They thought we're all this, you know, we're far away. Their planes aren't going to reach us. We're good to go. To the point where they're waving to the bombers as they're flying over Japan. People are waving. They don't realize it's us. They don't realize we've come a calling. And here we are. And here we are striking fear in the heart of the enemy. Maybe not doing a lot of physical damage, but the mental damage, the damage that Doolittle did to the psyche of the enemy was as equally brilliant as the uplifting that took place to the psyche of Americans. You've got psyche weighing in the balance, and because of Doolittle, one goes up and the other goes down, because they realized, holy cow, what have we done? I mean, this is what the enemy's realizing. Holy cow, what have we stepped into? Now, I don't know that the British realized it back in 1775. They didn't realize who they were messing with. They had no idea. They didn't understand the level of tenacity that they were dealing with in the DNA of folks like Paul Revere, John Hancock, Samuel Adams, and other heroes that rose to the occasion during 1775 and 1776 and 1777 and beyond. They had no idea. The British had no idea. And here we are, 150 plus years later, and you've got Doolittle and company. And I don't know that the Japanese had any idea. You would have thought that the world would have learned. After World War I, you would have thought. But no, they didn't. No, they were all still clueless, unknowing, unrealizing what lies at the heart of America, what lies at the heart of Americans. And we were a people who we don't roll over. We just don't. It's been that way forever. And my friends, it will continue to be that way forever and ever and ever and ever. Now, unless the left has their way. And it's, they would love to have their way. If the Marxists have their way, we will roll over. We will absolutely roll over. But we're not going to, and we see this, you know, coming out of Washington in this elementary school here. We see it. But as Americans who are filled with faith, not only faith in God, but faith in our founding, we realize what we were founded as a country, what we were founded as. We understand, we get it. We know we were founded under biblical, Christian, Judeo values and morals. We know it. And as a country, this is what we want to get back to. We do. We want to get back to the way things used to be. It's true. And I don't know that, I don't know that we're going to get back to the way things used to be. But that's okay. We can move forward with an understanding of what things used to be and perhaps reshape them, reform them. But I will tell you this, we are not willing to just roll over and hand the country over to a bunch of Marxist, leftist progressives who are intent on destroying it. We're not going to do it. We're not going to roll over and let them have the institutions. I mean, they've been on this long march to the institutions to take them over. We've seen it. Eyes are opening. We understand what's happening now. And we're not going to allow it. We're just not. And we have history on our side. And this is why history class is so important, because we have to go back to history. And we have to realize what happened then can happen now. It can repeat itself in terms of our resolve, in terms of our ability to rise up out of the ashes of defeat and go after victory and go after it with a vengeance. Just go after it with a vengeance. And I hope you're doing that just in your daily life. I mean, there are things that individually that we go through and we get knocked down and we have to stand back up and brush ourselves off. And I hope you're doing that. I hope that's your mindset. I hope that's your mentality. I hope if you're in the middle of something and you're in the throes of it and you're getting punched around and pushed around, and whether it's financially, whether it's emotionally, whether it's, you know, issues with your health or just issues with relationships, if you're going through it, I hope and pray that your train of thought, that your way of thinking is one of, all right, okay, but I'm going to go after it. I might be getting pushed around, but I'm going to go after it. I'm going to get back up. I'm going to be resolved to conquer. I'm going to be resolved to achieve victory. I am resolved to win. I hope that's your mindset, that you are resolved to win. That's the objective. To me, that's the history lesson today. Today's history lesson is be resolved to win. Be resolved to get off the ground, brush yourself off, and go after it. Whatever it is that you're in the throes of, be resolved to get off the ground, brush yourself off, and go after it. I know I'm speaking to someone today. I know. I can feel it. I know I'm speaking into your heart and into your life. And I'm just saying, go after it. You've got what it takes. You do. You've got what it takes to make it happen. So do it. All right? Just do it. It's all like Shia LaBeouf here. All right. Well, my friends, I love history class. You know I do. It's my favorite time of the day. So thank you for joining me today for history class. Thank you for hanging out with me and Paul Revere and Jimmy Doolittle and the gang. Tomorrow's another history class because Paul Revere's ride becomes now the shot heard around the world. And so we'll pick that up tomorrow and we're going to love it. All right. That is all the time we have for today, America. Thank you for joining me. I love that you're here. I love that you're a part of this audience. I love that you're a part of America Out Loud. I love that you're a part of this ride. And it's important. It really is that you encourage people to get on the Dean's List. All right. Encourage your friends and family to get on the Dean's List, because we have to unite to renovate the age.